My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. So we had one of two options leading into this episode.
Two very, very distinct choices.
So what we could have done is we could have opted to go with, had the Chiefs lost, we would have done a report card on the rookies for the 2023 season.
Shamari Connor, go ahead and give him an A.
Just kidding. There's a lot of guys that could probably get some
A. My guy! How about Shamari? We'll save it.
He's definitely stepped his game.
Let's save it.
But because the Chiefs won in Buffalo, in Orchard Park, this past Sunday against the Bills, we're going to do our mock draft 0.2. We're not going to officially put, you know, whole numbers on these things until, I would say we should probably wait to, like, put out an official mock until what? Combine? After the combine?
Oh, man. What day is the 22nd?
Yeah, so we got a month. I would say a little bit over a month.
January 31st, the first Senior Bowl practice. Right. We are getting close.
Yeah, I want to, before we start branding anything officially, I want to get the combine in first. But we're going to do a mock draft today. 0.2. We already did a 0.1. What was it, like a month and a half ago?
That's right.
So now with 28 of the 32 first round slots locked in, now I think we can get a little bit more accurate view of where these guys might land. So, simple, same rules as last time. No trades. We're not going to do anything like that. Simple, 1 through 32. We each make our pick, give a little explanation why. The obvious ones, we probably won't go so in-depth because, you know, we did that last time, and you guys probably already know. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know. Like, this is just how these guys are.
We kind of geeked out. You need something to do. Maybe shovel the driveway listening to it because we give you a lot of...
Right.
A lot of info.
Yeah. There's a lot of things to cover here. But so Chicago Bears, number one overall in this draft. That's the pick that the Panthers traded for them so they could move up to one overall last year and take Bryce Young. So Bears are in a really good position here with the draft. So I believe last time I went first. And here's the thing is right now they have the Chiefs at 29. So if you go first, you'll get to make their pick this time because I made it last time.
Yeah, fine. It's perfect. Works out great. Works out great.
You make the pick here. Bears on the clock. Number one overall. Who you got them taking?
This season is tough because the whole it is. It is.
Is this tough? Is it really that tough, Bink?
In my mind, it's Caleb Williams.
Yes.
But, you know, you got to think what Ryan Poles is thinking. Does he want Justin Fields? Does he think he's got something there? Listen, man, I'm tired of teams thinking, okay, I have the guy. He's going to step up. Listen, Justin Fields has done some great things. He really has.
What great things has he done? I mean,
he's been so, not a great thing.
He's had some great games.
Great games.
He's never put it together consistently.
He's a great runner. He's a great runner.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, ball control, I love the accuracy.
There's a lot of great.
At times this year.
There's a lot of great runners.
He's got great arm strength, but he's not the greatest Ohio State quarterback that belongs to C.J. Stroud. So you got to win, man. You got to have a quarterback to win. We know that. You know, as much as we like wide receivers, it's been the quarterback show here in the postseason. Caleb Williams at times, listen, I'm not going by hearsay or what people say. Oh, the team doesn't like him or he rubbed people the wrong way or blah, blah, blah. No. Right now, he's the most talented quarterback in the NFL draft. Went into the season as the most talented quarterback. USC had Swiss cheese for freaking defense. He was asked to do way too much, and I'm really starting to doubt Lincoln Riley's acumen as head coach.
I don't think Lincoln Riley's that long for USC.
Yeah, so I believed in him before this year. I really did. He had the Heisman Trophy winner there. Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears.
All right, Caleb Williams in our mock is. I agree with you. I don't think there's much debate for anyone else there other than him. I think if the Bears. Their own pick would have been much higher if Caleb would, if Justin Fields was better. He was not good this year, so I think it's pretty easy. Number two overall, we got the Washington Commanders. This is tough because I got two options here. You can go Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina, or you can go Olufoshanu, tackle out of Penn State. The question really becomes, do you believe in Sam Howell? And I'm not convinced I don't really buy in. I don't think Howell was bad this year. And I think you can make a case that they should probably go tackle because Howell had some pretty good numbers.
He led the NFL in yards past the midway point of the season.
Yeah, he did. So like he
but towards the end of it, yeah,
towards the end of it, he was not good. And they benched him. And I can't remember who they put in place of him. I can't recall. Then it probably doesn't matter. Probably is not even something worth looking up. But so when I look at that, and I just kind of think of, do you think he's the answer for your team at quarterback? And I don't think he's the answer for the team at the quarterback. And so as much as I'd like to go Marvin Harrison Jr. or not Marvin Harrison Jr.
Brissett, wasn't it?
Jacoby Brissett, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, so that's how you know things were good. So as much as I'd like to go an Olufoshanu or Marvin Harrison Jr. or something like that, I think Drake May is the obvious choice here. So
Drake May,
number two overall to the Commanders. So we have the Patriots on the clock at three overall.
Patriots number three overall. This quarterback, I'm going quarterback again. I'm going quarterback, quarterback.
I think I know who you're going with.
And Bo Nix. Just kidding. Jaden Daniels.
I was like, what?
We got a couple highs of Jaden Daniels, quarterback at LSU. I think he's special. And, you know, right now you're looking at talent-wise, you know, you're wondering who it's going to be. Because you know there's going to be a dud. There's always a dud. It's more than a dud.
Yeah, there's usually
first-round quarterbacks.
Usually, let's say you have five first-round quarterbacks, two of them are probably going to hit.
Look at 2018. Lamar Jackson was picked 32nd. He's a two-time NFL MVP because he's going to win it this year.
He hit, Josh Allen hit, and then after that, Baker Mayfield's been meh. Josh Rosen's no longer in the
Baker's
league.
Baker's been better, but yeah.
And yeah, so I actually think that you make a good case there for that.
But I like him, and it's a new era with Gerard Mayo in New England. He sees the value of you got to have that team leader. Mac Jones, listen, they're gonna again. You got to win now, or you move on to another quarterback in the draft. I really like Jaden Daniels. Hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. sitting there. That is a very, very, very tempting pick. Got to have someone run the show though, because Mac Jones ain't it.
Well, fourth overall, Cardinals there. This one's really easy. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver at Ohio State. This one's super easy.
I don't
easy.
Why we're picking on Bo Nix.
This
man.
Is super easy. I like Bo Nix.
I do too. I don't know why we're so, not this early.
So fifth overall, we've got the Los Angeles Chargers, a team that you were really worried was going to have a worse pick.
Yeah, I was, man. Pick. We went back and forth. You know, they damn near beat the Buffalo Bills. Came they, down but to they the final did, minute.
But the Bills tried to lose that game, but they
did. That's one thing about Buffalo. Don't forget, the Chargers had 63 points put on their ass.
Right. And then the next week, they came out and they almost beat them.
The Buffalo Mighty Bills, right?
I think I know where you're going here with the sixth.
You know,
with the fifth overall pick.
I've seen some go Malik Nabers here, and I get it. Hey, wide receivers, you got to think Justin Herbert's always going to need his weapons. The wide receivers, tight end, you name it. But Antonio Gates, such you know, good to Kellen Winslow. It's a great history. You think of the history with tight ends in Kansas City. I think of it with the Chargers as well. And it's one of the best, not only receivers, but pass catchers as well. Because I think Brock Bowers is going to be a little bit like Kelsey, where he's up there at the top of, you know, even receiver catches. I've seen Brock Bowers sliding from 5 to 15, but no, he's not passing the Chargers at number 5. Luckily, they tanked out the season, and they're able to get Brock.
Yeah, I thought this, it was funny when I was doing some mocks earlier for practice, and I was like, because I knew you were going to go first, so I was like, I guarantee he's going to have Brock Bowers go into the Chargers at 5. So I just mocked him there.
Think the Bears taking Brock.
I mocked him there every time. The whole time I was like, number 5 for sure is Brock Bowers.
Well, I'm picking a future Hall of Famer number 5.
So,
which is not what you think. You think, all right, it's one or two future Hall of Famers. I think there's two future Hall of Famers in this draft that you've already drafted at this point, but we have...
Yeah,
Marvin Harrison Jr. and Brock Bowers. So in, you know, 20 years,
probably
look back
be
at
closer
it
closer to 20.
Yeah.
If it takes them that long to get in, they wouldn't that.
Yeah.
There were some question marks. So we're sixth overall, New York Giants on the clock. This one is I think pretty easy as well. I've mocked this guy to the Giants before, wide receiver Malik Nabers out of LSU. They need some wide receiver help. They overpaid on Daniel Jones, and so they're stuck with them at least for the next, like, I don't think they can get out until two more seasons. So you got what you got. And
it was Jalen Hyatt last year.
Right. So you might as well just surround him with as much talent as you can. Nabers, I think, fits in really well with what they like to do.
Second best receiver this year. Not even a question on that.
So seventh overall, we got the Tennessee Titans on board.
Tennessee Titans. Now, I'm leaning towards a certain direction here. Yeah. They do, too. We're using Pro Football Focus here, the best available, and I agree with it at this point. Joe Alt, that some people even had going number 2 overall to the Commanders.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm going Joe Alt to the Tennessee Titans.
Okay, so eighth overall, we've got...
Hey, don't get me wrong, they need wide receivers, too.
They do.
But they need several things.
So eighth overall, we've got the Atlanta Falcons on board here. This one... So I'm making this pick as if Bill Belichick already has the job, because I think Bill Belichick's going to take that job. I think he's going to take that job.
Wonder how many are going to interview Harbaugh for the second time this week. Belichick probably ain't used to do interviews for a job,
right? I mean, I respect their due diligence and all of that, and I know that Harbaugh's doing a second interview with the Chargers as well.
I think Kirk Cousins could end up there as a free agent quarterback, but that means they're not going to draft one anyway, because Kirk Cousins is a nice enough guy. They would play that Alex Smith role, groom the quarterback behind him.
I don't think they're going to – I think they would probably more so go with a guy like a Kirk Cousins, a more veteran guy, than draft one right now. So, yeah, this one, like I said, I'm assuming Belichick will take that job, and if he does that, he's a defensive guy. He wants to go out there and have a great front four, and he wants to have a great secondary, especially a corner. Corner is really, really important for Belichick, and I think the guy that really jumps out as a potential top star at corner, who's an amazing athlete. Bill Belichick loves those amazing athletic corners. I'm going to go Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa, going to the Falcons.
Going to Cooper already.
Yeah. I the way I see it is, like, the athleticism is something that kind of gives him the upside. And I think when you're in that position there, you already have a good defense. Like, the defense was pretty good for the Falcons this year. But you add a gamer there. You add Bill Belichick's style of defense there. You know, they'll put in some work on the offensive end to make sure. Because they got talent on offense. They just, the scheme's man, the quarterback situation isn't great. So I think they could find a way to work around that. So I'm going to go DeJean there.
This is tough. Chicago Bears at 9. Because granted, you know, they get quarterback. They get quarterback at the first
pick. So you got quarterback now.
But
and I think you've got some good weapons on your offensive side.
You know, but the offensive line is something I really think they need more than anything.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm going to go for Shanu, the tackle.
At Penn State.
Which, Olo Fushanu.
Yeah, I think he's the best tackle in this draft class. I think he is the most... I think he has the best foundation of all the tackles.
He's my second best tackle behind Ault.
Yeah, I think he's better than Ault. I think he's just more fundamentally sound. The one thing about him, and you hear that a lot about from scouts, is like he needs a little bit more of an edge. But like from a technical standpoint, I think he's by far the best tackle in this, especially as a pass blocker. So now we've got the Jets here at number 10. And if you're the Jets, you're probably not that happy. Because I'm sure for the Jets, you're thinking, oh, we can get a tackle here. And so I'm sure they were hoping that Fashanu was going to fall or all either of the two would fall here. So without him on the board now, I still think offensive tackle is one of your biggest, if not the biggest needs.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
That you have. And when I look at it, one of the guys I really like here is J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama. I think you want to make sure that your front five are on board doing their job, especially at the tackle position, because you have an old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. And one of the big reasons why he didn't play this year, other than the first drive of the season, was because of the fact that he got hurt because guys were able to generate pressure from the very get-go of the season. So I'm going to go J.C. Latham here. I think he's the number three tackle in this draft class, and I think they go out there and they give themselves a gamer to help shore up the offensive line position there for them.
Yeah, I like it. Anytime you're going on the Alabama offensive line, except for Alex Leatherwood a couple years ago, take
I think we knew that before he was actually taken, that he was probably fool's gold if you take him in the first round.
I do like the pick. Minnesota Vikings.
So Vikings
so
11th overall.
They need so much. They need so much of this. It's really one of these drafts where you can almost talk yourself into anything you select.
I think this one's easy for you.
Do you?
Yeah.
You thinking Jahzir Newton or you thinking Latu?
No. I'm thinking quarterback.
You're thinking quarterback in this situation?
Yeah. Because I mean, here's the thing you gotta think, because Kirk Cousins is old.
Yeah, but
he's not on a long-term deal. So it's like
I get it, but again, you're getting to the questionable. Can this guy be a team leader quarterback situation? That's the real question. If a guy can,
because the one guy I look at is Penix Jr.
Penix, I like him a lot.
That's the guy I look at, and when I look at him, I'm like, with those weapons, with that arm strength, like.
And if Kirk Cousins doesn't come back, yes.
And even if he comes back, you can just sit Penix for a year. He learns, and after that red shirt year, then he comes out and becomes a starter. I think there's a lot of options there, but I don't think you could go wrong with Jerzon Newton. I really like Latu.
I'm going to go Latu here because I don't want to go rookie quarterback with them. They need so many things, but I really like the edge present. And you know, Dallas Turner was another option.
Yeah, Turner's another option.
You know, there was another option there, but I like Latu in this situation.
I think that Latu is the best edge rusher in this draft class, so I completely understand why you go with that, and it would make sense for them because they really kind of like to mix things up. He's an outside linebacker when he was at UCLA, so I'm sure that like Brian Flores would love to have a guy like him because he's certainly a guy that can draw back in coverage as well, so it creates some versatility there, so it makes sense.
I really like Newton there too, though. So
we get to the Broncos here at number 12. I think their issues are pretty obvious. I think this was the last year that Russell Wilson will have played for the Navy and Orange, and now you look at their situation and they need a quarterback, and Sean Payton probably isn't going to get a whole lot of time to do it, because if it gets worse than it was last year, the fans there are going to push against it, especially because you got Patrick Mahomes in your division, you got Justin Herbert in your division. I don't think Payton's going to get a whole lot of time to fix things. So I think now's the time you go get your quarterback, you develop him. And so to me, I think they breathe a sigh of relief when the Vikings don't take Michael Penix Jr., and I think they go Michael Penix Jr. here in the first round.
Michael Penix Jr. to the Broncos.
So now we got the Raiders on the clock at 13.
You don't care about lefty righty.
No. I think you can make the adjustments based on, like, any good coach can make the, I mean, obviously, like Mike McDaniel, he had to adjust his offense to a lefty quarterback when he came from San Francisco to Miami. And I mean, the Falcons did it when Mike Vick was there. I mean, you can make it work.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that it can work. Raiders. Oh, man.
There's a lot of needs that they can address here. And I think the two top guys that PFF has on the board right now are Romo Dunze, wide receiver for Washington, Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle for Illinois.
See, I still think they need quarterback. And yeah. I would have been hard-pressed not to take Michael Penix there had not been your selection.
Well, I like Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is a great option as well. I think
Odunze, man. You have him, Davante Adams.
Yeah.
I'm going Odunze for the Raiders.
Okay.
Go another wide receiver. How many put wide receivers that have us taken now?
So we've got Odunze, that's one. We've got, I think that's Neighbors is two, and then Harrison's three.
And the record's a seven back in 2004. And a lot of these mocks have been teetering on, you know, 5 to 7.
Right, yeah. So we've got the Saints on the clock at 14. The Saints would have loved to have had Jaden Daniels there. That obviously didn't happen. And so
they would have liked to have had Mahomes back in 17 as well.
Yeah, they would have. They would have taken Mahomes if the Chiefs had to trade it up to 10.
Yeah.
They would have taken him. So, but yeah, I think this one's actually really easy. The Saints could use some quarterback help. They got Derek Carr. Derek Carr's not been good. And so I think you look at that situation, and this was really easy. Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon. I really like him. And I think if you're a team that needs a quarterback, this is a good year to go get one up until this point. After Bo Nix, there's probably not a guy I would take in the first round at quarterback. So we're at 15 overall now. We got the Colts on the clock.
Colts on the clock.
This one's really because they don't have the obvious glaring need like a lot of other teams that we've done for.
No, they don't. But I'm really looking at corner. I'm looking at corner.
Yeah, I think that's a good, good direction.
Kool-Aid McKinstry. From Alabama. I've really watched him play this year. So I'm going to go Kool-Aid in this situation.
I do like that pick.
I almost went Nate Wiggins from Clemson, but decided on Kool-Aid.
So, yeah, because here's the tough thing about those two is you look at McKinstry And I see with McKinstry someone who's probably a little bit more of a safer pick. And I look at Wiggins, and I think he could potentially be the best corner of the league.
Yeah, the potential's there. It was a hard decision, but Kool-Aid just made it.
Yeah, so
man.
It's like, so your question of, are you going with a guy who is probably safer, or are you going with the higher upside? Yeah. So I get where you're going. I get where you're going there. We've got the Seahawks, number 16. And I think this one's another pretty easy one. The Seahawks love to play 1995 football. Their offense really kind of seems set. They could use a quarterback, but I honestly don't think they're going to do that. So I think they're going to try to work on their defense, shore that up. And I think the help they could use is on the edge. I think they could definitely get some more pressure without having to blitz. They've got good corners right now. So get you guys who can get after the quarterback to make it tougher for him to go out there and make plays. And the best available edge rusher is Dallas Turner.
I'm going Dallas here.
Edge rusher.
See, I like Dallas too, because when you watch Alabama tape, I mean, he's only showing up.
He's very similar to Will Anderson. He's a very safe
and
edge
that's a
rusher.
Value too, because he could be a top 10 pick.
Right. Yeah. I think he's a top 10 value. I think he's the second best edge rusher in this class. But he's like Will, very technically sound. He's not a JJ Watt type. He'll never be a JJ Watt type. I don't think Will Anderson's going to be a JJ Watt type or TJ Watt now, but I do think he's going to be a very, very effective edge rusher. So I like the move. So we're sitting at number 17 with Jacksonville, surprising team that did not make the playoffs.
This is one of the easier ones for me, because when you think of Jackson, it's you got to find a way to protect Trevor Lawrence. It's about the offensive line, and there's a couple choices. Mims, I'm thinking about there, but I'm gonna go. Fuagu, offensive tackle at the Oregon State, one of my top five tackles in that situation. So I just see it. Is Marius Mims was still out there too as well, but Jacksonville just needs help up on the offensive line.
Yeah, they do. Really, I mean, yeah, their offensive line was not great this year, and certainly in the latter part of the season, Trevor Lawrence started to get hit a lot, accrue some injuries because of that. So I think that's a good move. 18 overall, we got the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think this one's another cake one. I think this one is they're going to probably more than likely lose T. Higgins this offseason. They're losing Tyler Boyd this offseason. They're going to need some help. Joe Burrow's coming back. Only thing he's got right there is he's got Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Mixon's not getting any younger. The guy's in that range where they start degrading at the running back position. So you got to get younger. You got to get some guys who can, you know, go out and game. And I just look at a guy who I think might be the best athlete at the wide receiver position in this draft class, and Keon Coleman. And I think this one is a good value for them.
Oh, Keon's gone.
I'm gonna go Keon Coleman there.
And, you know, you're picking him right in kind of the wheelhouse. It's funny because he's been picked, you know, 25th is where he's starting to see
Keon
Coleman.
I've seen him slide a lot, hey, to even like early second round.
6'4", he gets to the combine, puts up elite numbers.
Right.
And all of a sudden, we're talking 10 to 15.
Like I said, like right now, where you're seeing him mock doesn't matter, because a month from now is really when we're going to see that value. So, but I'm going to assume he has a good combine, and I think his numbers rise enough to where he gets taken in the first round for sure. So here we've got the LA Rams going at number 19.
You know, I actually think the Rams are in position for quarterback. I mean, obviously, you know, going forward, they get Stetson Bennett that hasn't been there all year.
Stetson Bennett's not the answer, and they know
he's not. He's not the answer there, but he's gone. It was him last year. Stafford's not there. I really want to go quarterback here, but I don't like my choices.
Right,
for
and
it.
That's the thing is,
but I really want to go defensive back here. Yeah. And since Nate Wiggins is still on the board because Kool-Aid goes earlier, I'm going Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, my big thing was just like, if you're going to go quarterback, you got to get the right one. And is there the right one left?
I don't think so.
And I just don't think there is. I think anybody that takes J.J. McCarthy is just asking to get fired.
Well, I think there's guys like Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck, but they're not going pro.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers stayed, and Carson Beck's going to stay. And so, yeah, it kind of takes the value out of taking that position this year. Plus, Stafford was good this year.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you've been following what Jim Nagy has been saying. He's the executive director.
You sent me that tweet earlier. He said the late rounds this year are going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, he says in a tweet, this is the executive director of the Senior Bowl, the premier college All-Star game here. Nobody's talking about it because few truly track late-round prospects. But combination of nil money, widespread use of extra COVID year, and smallest junior class in over a decade completely wiped out depth of this year's NFL draft. By late December, our senior bowl board fell apart in rounds 5-7. Teams will either be trading away day 3 picks to preserve value or selecting players from their free agent side of the board in April. That's an interesting tweet. And I see that more and more guys, the money, the incentives are there. We're seeing more guys stay in football. Neil has changed the game.
Yeah,
and again, you're getting more pro-made guys because they spent more time. They're actually getting the 20 starts at quarterback rather than before. And, you know, I think this actually helps the NFL out as far as guys. Because if you're regularly NFL, you're winning NFL.
Right.
But the guys are kind of tweeners. Yeah, you're not 100%
sure. Or the guys who are late-round guys.
Yeah.
Are probably less prone to leave because they're probably going to make more money in NIL than they are if they're playing in the NFL. So there's actually more incentive for a lot of these guys to just stay in college, make money, and improve themselves so they work their draft stock up. I 100% get why they would do that. So, yeah. So here we're at number 20. The Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock. And, you know, this one's interesting because they don't really have a whole bunch of glaring needs. They could use a quarterback for sure, because I'm not sure
Kenny Pickett's the answer. Kirk Cousins maybe end up
there. Right. And there was talk, you know, even before he got hurt that, you know, hey, the Steelers should trade for Kirk Cousins. So that was on the board for a little while here. But, you know, I look at the Steelers and I think they're the type of team that wants to lean into their identity a little bit more. And their defense has been their identity for a while. This is kind of a league that's getting back to slower, more deliberate playing style, less of the high-flying, throw-the-ball-down-the-field types. So let's lean into that. Let's shore up this defense. And I think you're going to go best available DB here, which is Terrion Arnold, who plays that star position there for the it's Malachi, who plays corner for the Crimson Tide. Opposite.
Kind of what Brian Branch did the year before.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Terrion Arnold here. I think he's best available corner, best available DB, and gives them a little bit more flexibility in their on their defense. So 21st overall, we've got the Miami Dolphins.
You know, offensive line is something they need, but man, Newton's still sitting there. Jerzon Newton from Illinois. And I think he can be a game changer on defensive line.
The question
the defense struggled a bit.
Right, but the question for that, and this is the thing I would say for the whole Jerzon Newton. I Jerzon's probably fallen a lot further than I think either of us thought he would.
That's why I was going, Newton's there, he's going. That's
right.
In this mock, I would go Newton only because he's fallen this far for value.
Right, yeah. But in this situation, like if we were doing trades, I think they would try to trade out of this for sure. I think this would be a moment where a team that really liked Newton would try and trade up and go get him. You know, because this would be like...
Mims is not gone yet,
Mims is still here. But yeah, I mean, if it were me, I would go tackle. I would go Mims here. Because Teron Armstead had so many injuries this year. Just constantly hurt, and when the offensive line's not protecting Tua, he's terrible. So that's what I would do.
I'm calling the Philadelphia Eagles. You're drafting right behind them and trying to work a deal.
Philly would love to get a DB. They need some DB help bad.
Yeah, they do. They completely do. It's either between that offensive line, Amarius Mims, or Jerzon Newton. Those are the two choices.
I would go Mims just because.
But they do need offensive line. I mean, that's one of the things they do need.
I would go Mims because their offense is kind of gimmicky.
I'm torn between them.
It's gimmicky.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Mims, although someone's getting a hell of a deal with Newton.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think their offense is a little gimmicky, and they need to protect Tua.
They need to protect Tua.
He needs
some time for Tua to stand back there and hit Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle.
Because he panics. As soon as his first read, as soon as he's not able to get the ball to his first read because of pressure or because that guy's covered, he panics. And I think you want to make him as comfortable as possible. So 22 overall, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles. I think a very surprising position for them to be in. If they did not draft all those damn Georgia players on their defensive line, I would take Jerzon Newton here. But I think in this position here, I think they would love to trade out of this position because a lot of the DBs have been going. But I look at this one, and there's one guy I really, really like. There's actually two guys I really like. And it's tough choice here. Yeah, Cameron Kitchens, who I think could be the better overall safety between him and Tyler Newbin. But I think Tyler Newbin, more of a ball-hawking type, you know, center fielder, shut down the deep pass. And so the question becomes, which do you value more if you are the Eagles? Do you want the center fielder who's going to go out there and just lock down anything down the field? Or do you want the guy who can make all the plays?
And the other thing, too, is wide receiver, because A.J. Brown, not happy in Philly.
Right, yeah, and I get it.
And you want someone to pair with Devontae Smith.
I get it, but there's no guarantee that he's going to want out. They could smooth things over there.
They need defensive backs, number one, though. That's
but
100% what they need
first. I think
first.
Number one they need is defensive backs. You can smooth over the, because when we saw the same thing with Stephon Diggs this you know last offseason. So, but I think what you're going to do is you go get best available DB, and I think that's Cameron Kitchens. I just think he's a physical specimen. So that's where I go there.
Yeah, they look at all the guys. They lost both safeties in this offseason. It's something really struggled on.
I mean, their cornerback situation isn't great right now. I mean, it's just really just big play Slay, and that's it. So,
all right, Houston, okay. D'Amico Ryans is your head coach.
This is the master of defense right here.
Jerzon Newton is going to Houston. Because right they're running up to the stage to put this
oh,
in.
Oh, dude, if that, I'll tell you
D'Amico's
this.
D'Amico's sitting there going, are you kidding me?
I'll tell
just
you this.
Pulling out a cigar right now.
I'll tell you this. D'Amico would push for them to trade up with the Dolphins to go get Jerzon Newton if he fell to 20.
The Texans are running to the podium.
Yes. Like, you can't. They could not turn that card in fast enough if they got Jerzon Newton. That is a D'Amico Ryans pick right there. So, getting to 24, we've got the Cowboys here.
And this was, the Cowboys.
This one's really interesting here. And it's interesting because there's a lot of ways they could go. There's a lot of edge rushers still on the board. I'm not convinced on edge rusher. I'm not even 100% sold on wide receiver yet. But when I look at what they're doing as a team, I think right now the biggest issue that they had on that team was in the defensive in the secondary, and they were getting torched by the Packers. They were getting absolutely ripped to shreds by the Packers. It was nasty. They just everything they wanted they got, and now you have a guy who's a ball hawking safety. You can go out there and shut down the deep game and force teams to play underneath. And I think that's Tyler Newbin. I think he gives you exactly what you need. So I like Tyler Newbin, safety out of Minnesota. So now we go to 25 overall with the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay. Nice little run this year in the postseason. You got Jordan Love. You bulk him up with weapons. Although Christian Watson, I think he's underutilized at times with Green Bay, but I don't know.
He also has his injury issues too, so that plays a part. But yeah.
Edge rusher for Green Bay for sure. They've lost that several times. Wide receiver is another top choice for me here. Man, Jared Verse still on the board. You know, he started playing a lot better towards the end of the year. He came in with high aspirations too. A lot of people look at Todd Tipton for Jared Verse. Best pass rusher going. I'm going to go ahead and go Jared Verse here for the Green Bay Packers.
He definitely stepped his game up after, you know, right around the midpoint.
It just seems like
of the
a
season.
Packers pick.
He struggled early in the season, was not generating much
Braylon
pressure.
Trice almost too.
Trice really stepped it up too later in the season. Both of those guys were guys who were projected as first round picks, and early on they struggled to really kind of get things going. Middle point of the season though, they really got down and started to produce. And yeah, I think Jared Verse would be a good pick there. So now we're 26th overall. We've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this one, there's a few options here. Could go wide receiver. They could go offensive line. They could go edge rusher. They got Godwin. Mike Evans is more than likely gone this year in the offseason. I think Evans probably signed somewhere on a short-term deal. Would not be shocked if Evans ended up a Chief this offseason. So you look at that and you could go Brian Thomas Jr. here, wide receiver out of LSU. You could go edge rusher with a Braswell or a Braylon Trice. And you still have A.D. Mitchell on the board. You still have Tez Walker on the board, Troy Franklin on the board. But, you know, when I think of what the Bucks are with, what's his name, Todd Bowles as their head coach. He's a defensive coordinator, defensive guy, calls that defense. Defense really, like, stepped their game up in the middle part of the year. It's a big reason why they were able to win their division, the NFC South, and they won a playoff game. They took the Lions to the limit. I'm gonna say they lean more into that identity, get themselves an edge rusher. This is a good wide receiver class. You don't need to take one in the first round if you've got an edge rusher like this. So I'm gonna say they go Braylon Trice, edge rusher out of Washington.
I like Braylon Trice. That's where probably I was going with the Cardinals pick.
And the Cardinals could also use an edge rusher too, because
we already have them getting Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah. So I think at this point now, defense is probably going to be more pressing than offense, because you got Trey McBride there, who emerged as a very good tight end for them.
I like corner, too. Kamari Lassiter is still there, cornerback.
Kamari Lassiter is still there.
Who's their top corner that they have?
For Georgia, yes.
Is that Lassiter's their number one corner?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, I'm going to go Kamari Lassiter for the Cardinals. They go Marvin Harrison Jr. in the first round.
So we got the Buffalo Bills on the board, and this one, they got options here. I think the easy
49 over the cap, $49 million over the
they
cap.
They got a lot of money over the cap. They're not going to. Gabe Davis is more than likely gone.
And Stephon Diggs can't catch anymore.
Stephon Diggs. It was funny. It's like I said this during the summer, early in the season. I was like, you cannot count on Stephon Diggs continuing to play the same way that he has, because he just turned 30 last month. He's going to be 31 this December. You cannot count on that man continuing to go and do what he does. So I think they go best available wide receiver here, and I look at these guys, and I see Brian Thomas Jr., and I just don't think you can pass him up, man. And I think they know the Chiefs would love to have him. So,
gosh, you took him right out from the Chiefs.
Yeah, I
Coleman's gone. Now Brian Thomas Jr.'s gone. Two of my favorites not my total favorites, obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Romo Odunze and Malik Nabers are. But I'm going to go wide receiver, of course, for the Chiefs.
Of course, yeah.
Troy Franklin's a guy I like because of the size.
So you got Troy Franklin.
Donnie Mitchell I really like, too, because of the size, because he's 6'4", 196.
You got Tez Walker. You got Ladd McConkey.
And Tez Walker's a guy that's been mocked to the Chiefs a little bit here and there.
Yeah, I've seen him more second round, but yeah, I've seen a few where he was mocked to them late in the first.
Troy Franklin, 6'3", 178. I'm going 6'4", 196. A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver from Texas. One of the top two, I think they had with A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. But I'm going A.D. Mitchell to the Kansas City Chiefs. Any disagreements?
No.
Did you wear your Chiefs sweatshirt?
I like the move. Okay. I like the size. I think he's more of he's going to play a little bit smaller than his 6'4 frame. He might put on a little bit more muscle and whatnot. But I think he gives you the deep threat that you like.
Runs the routes you want. It comes from a championship pedigree.
Yeah, like I'll be interested
playing
to see.
Playing the Georgia Bulldogs.
I'll be really interested to see what he does at the combine there with that 40
national
time.
Titles.
Yeah, I like the pick. I think he very quickly emerged as the best option that they have for the Longhorns and for Georgia. So yeah, I like the move. Now we've
got a 4-yard touchdown pass in the national title game.
Right. Yeah, he was really good. So you got the Lions on the board here. They don't have a ton of needs, but they do have some needs there. And I think really what you would like to do if you were the Lions is just kind of add on to your defense, because your offense is really good right now. So I think you want to go and add to your defense. Your secondary, not really that great right now. So if I'm looking at their defense, there's a guy I really like named Kalen King.
Oh, I like Kalen King.
Cornerback
too.
Out of Penn State. He's very similar to Joey Porter Jr., not quite as physical, not quite as good as in man coverage as Joey Porter Jr. is, but he's still a very, very talented corner, and I think you can go get him, and you add another You had another playmaker on your defensive end, this time in your secondary, and I think that bodes well for the Lions. So now we get 31st overall with the San Francisco 49ers.
This is interesting to me because you think of Trent Williams and the age and that offensive line.
Right.
But you know what? They went out and grabbed every pass rusher they could.
They did. They just keep getting pass rushers.
They went out because that's a big part of what they are and who they are. And drafting an edge rusher, to me, makes a lot of sense, too. So does offensive line.
I think offensive line makes a little bit more sense for them.
I'm with you kind of on that.
Because I think their defensive line is much better than their offensive line.
Because they love to run the football, love to put the ground, and they got to protect Brock Purdy.
They got to protect Brock.
They put the pieces around. It's serviceable what you do with Brock Purdy. You need the offensive line. Listen, they go out and get every Patrick so they can. I think they'll go free agency for that. So I'm going to go offensive line. And Jordan Morgan out of Arizona is one of my top choices. Oh, you went with Jordan Morgan. That's fine. Jordan Morgan is fine.
I thought you were taking my bad.
Oh, that's fine. We'll take Jordan Morgan.
My bad. I thought that's who you were taking.
It was, the other one was out of Washington.
What's his name? Fautanu.
Yeah, Fautanu.
Yeah.
It was the other one, but Jordan Morgan's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I really like his nastiness.
Yeah, I like him too.
You know what? Arizona going over the first guy.
That was a guy that was mocked to the Chiefs like on a couple of mocks. Like two times ago that we did the mock draft round.
I'm fine. Who was it that put the wrong name on the card or they missed their card? They tried to get the card up there and somebody passed them because they waited too long. I forgot who it was. Is it the Vikings?
Passed up.
Yeah,
I think that was the 0-3 draft.
I just got passed up.
Yes, you did. So the Ravens on the clock. Hopefully they're not picking 32 this year. This one's different because you're
so good offensively and defensively.
Right. You could go wide receiver again, but they've spent a lot of picks on wide
receiver. Unless you're not expecting much of Odell.
Right. And I don't think you should expect somebody a lot from him.
Wide receiver's an option, though, man.
It's an option. Another position I think you look at is in your secondary. Corner. If there is a weakness on their team, it is corner. Because they're very good up front.
Enos Rakestraw, Missouri, sits out there for corner. Yeah. I really like him. I really thought he was going to sneak in the first round. Troy Franklin's another receiver I like. I think it's between Troy Franklin and Rakestraw.
Yeah.
Because I love the way Enos plays.
So I kind of look at all the different corners here. And, yeah, I mean, I look at it, and I think Enos Rakestraw is probably your best option here. You get a nice, good...
He's a solid player, man. He's physical, very Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and they like that physical style of play. So I think corner is a great spot for them to go, and Rakestraw certainly fits that profile. So we have finished our mock draft 0.2.
No, we had 8 receivers in the first round.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or Jerzon Newton. Those are the two choices.
I would go Mims just because.
But they do need offensive line. I mean, that's one of the things they do need.
I would go Mims just because their offense is kind of gimmicky.
I'm torn between them. It's gimmicky. I'm going to go ahead and go with Mims, although someone's getting a hell of a deal with Newton.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think their offense is a little gimmicky, and they need to protect
They need to protect Tua.
He needs
some time for Tua to stand back there and hit Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle.
Because he panics. As soon as his first read, as soon as he's not able to get the ball to his first read because of pressure or because he's because that guy's covered, he panics. And I think you want to make him as comfortable as possible. So 22 overall, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles. I think very surprising position for them to be in. If they did not draft all those damn Georgia players on their defensive line, I would take Jerzon Newton here. But I think in this position here, I think they would love to trade out of this position because a lot of the DBs have been going. But I look at this one, and there's one guy I really, really like. There's actually two guys I really like. And it's tough choice here. You got Cameron Kitchens, who I think could be the better overall safety between him and Tyler Newbin. But I think Tyler Newbin, more of a ball hawking type, you know, center fielder, shut down the deep pass. And so the question becomes, which do you value more if you are the Eagles? Do you want the center fielder who's going to go out there and just lock down anything down the field? Or do you want the guy who can make all the plays?
And the other thing, too, is wide receiver, because A.J. Brown, happy in Philly.
Right, yeah, and I get it.
You want someone to pair with Devontae Smith.
I get it, but there's no guarantee that he's going to want out. They could smooth things over there.
They need defensive backs, number one, though. That's 100% what they need first.
I think number one they need is defensive backs. You can smooth over that, because we saw the same thing with Stephon Diggs this last offseason. So, but I think what you're going to do is you go get best available DB, and I think that's Cameron Kitchens. I just think he's a physical specimen. So that's where I go there.
Yeah, they look at all the guys. They lost both safeties in the soft season. It's something really struggled on.
I mean, their cornerback situation isn't great right now. I mean, it's just really just big play Slay, and that's it. So,
all right, Houston. Okay, D'Amico Ryans is your head coach.
This is the master of defense right here.
Jerzon Newton is going to Houston because we're running up to the stage to put this.
Oh, dude, if that, I'll tell you,
D'Amico's
this.
Sitting there going, "Are you kidding me?"
I'll tell
just
you this.
Pulling out a cigar right now.
I'll tell you this. D'Amico would push for them to trade up with the Dolphins to go get Jerzon Newton if he fell to 20.
The Texans are running to the podium.
Yes. Like, you can't. They could not turn that card in fast enough if they got Jerzon Newton. That is a D'Amico Ryans pick right there. So, getting to 24, we've got the Cowboys here.
And this was, the Cowboys.
This
interesting.
One's interesting. This one's really interesting here. And it's interesting because there's a lot of ways they could go. There's a lot of edge rushers still on the board. I'm not convinced on edge rusher. I'm not even 100% sold on wide receiver yet. But when I look at what they're doing as a team, I think right now the biggest issue that they had on that team was in the defensive, in the secondary. And they were getting torched by the Packers. They were getting absolutely ripped to shreds by the Packers. It was nasty. They just, everything they wanted, they got. And now you have a guy who's a ball-hawking safety. You can go out there and shut down the deep game and force teams to play underneath. And I think that's Tyler Newbin. I think he gives you exactly what you need. So I like Tyler Newbin, safety out of Minnesota. So now we go to 25 overall with the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay. Nice little run this year in the postseason. You got Jordan Love. You bulk him up with weapons. Although Christian Watson, I think he's underutilized at times with Green Bay, but I don't know.
He also has his injury issues too, so that plays a part, but yeah.
Edge rusher for Green Bay, for sure. They've lost that several times. Wide receiver is another top choice for me here. Man, Jared Verse still on the board. You know, he started playing a lot better towards the end of the year. He came in with high aspirations, too. A lot of people look at Todd Tippmann for Jared Verse. Best pass rusher going. I'm going to go ahead and go Jared Verse here for the Green Bay Packers.
He definitely stepped his game up after, you know, right around the midpoint.
It just seems like
of the
a Packers
season.
Pick.
He struggled early in the season, was not generating much
Braylon
pressure.
Trice almost too.
Trice really stepped it up too later in the season. Both of those guys were guys who were projected as first round picks, and early on they struggled to really kind of get things going. Middle point of the season though, they really got down and started to produce. And yeah, I think Jared Verse would be a good pick there. So now we're 26th overall. We've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this one, there's a few options here. Could go wide receiver. They could go offensive line. They could go edge rusher. They got Godwin. Mike Evans is more than likely gone this year in the offseason. I think Evans probably signed somewhere on a short-term deal. Would not be shocked if Evans ended up a Chief this offseason. So you look at that and... you could go Brian Thomas Jr. here, wide receiver out of LSU. You could go edge rusher with a Braswell or a Braylon Trice. And you still have A.D. Mitchell on the board. You still have Tez Walker on the board, Troy Franklin on the board. But, you know, when I think of what the Bucs are with, what's his name, Todd Bowles as their head coach. He's a defensive coordinator, defensive guy, calls that defense. Defense really like stepped their game up in the middle part of the year. It's a big reason why they were able to win their division, the NFC South, and they won a playoff game. They took the Lions to the limit. I'm gonna say they lean more into that identity, get themselves an edge rusher. This is a good wide receiver class. You don't need to take one in the first round if you've got an edge rusher like this. So I'm going to say they go Braylon Trice, edge rusher, out of Washington.
I like Braylon Trice. That's where probably I was going with the Cardinals pick.
And the Cardinals could also use an edge rusher, too. Because,
we already have them getting Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah. So I think at this point now, the defense is probably going to be more pressing than offense. Because you got Trey McBride there, who emerges a very good tight end for them.
I like corner, too. Kamari Lassiter's still there, cornerback.
Kamari Lassiter is still there.
Who's their top corner that they have?
For Georgia, yes.
Is that Lassiter's their number one corner?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, I'm going to go Kamari Lassiter for the Cardinals. They go Marvin Harrison Jr. in the first round.
So we got the Buffalo Bills on the board, and this one, they got options here. I think the easy
49 over the cap. 49 million over the cap.
They got a lot of money over the cap. They're not going to. Gabe Davis is more than likely gone.
And Stephon Diggs can't catch anymore.
Stephon Diggs. It was funny. It was like I was saying, I said this during the summer, early in the season. I was like, you cannot count on Stephon Diggs continuing to play the same way that he has because he just turned 30 last month. He's going to be 31 this December. You cannot count on that man continuing to go and do what he does. So I think they go best available wide receiver here, and I look at these guys, and I see Brian Thomas Jr., and I just don't think you can pass him up, man. And I think they know the Chiefs would love to have him. So,
gosh, took him right out from the Chiefs.
Yeah, I
Coleman's gone. Now Brian Thomas Jr.'s gone. Two of my favorites not my total favorites, obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Romo Odunze and Malik Nabers are. But I'm going to go wide receiver, of course, for the Chiefs.
Of course, yeah.
Troy Franklin's a guy I like because of the size.
So you got Troy Franklin.
Donnie Mitchell I really like, too, because of the size, because he's 6'4", 196.
You got Tez Walker. You got Ladd McConkey.
And Tez Walker's a guy that's been mocked to the Chiefs a little bit here and there.
Yeah, I've seen him more second round, but yeah, I've seen a few where he was mocked to them late in the first.
Troy Franklin, 6'3", 178. I'm going 6'4", 196. A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver from Texas. One of the top two, I think they had with A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. But I'm going A.D. Mitchell to the Kansas City Chiefs. Any disagreements?
No.
Wear your Chiefs sweatshirt?
I like the move. Okay. I like the size. I think he's more of he's going to play a little bit smaller than his 6'4 frame. He might put on a little bit more muscle and whatnot. But I think he gives you the deep threat that you like.
Runs the routes you want. comes from a championship pedigree.
Yeah, like I'll be interested
played
to see.
Played a Georgia Bulldog.
I'll be really interested to see what he does at the combine there with that 40
national
time.
Titles.
Yeah. I like the pick. I think he very quickly emerged as the best option that they have for the Longhorns and for Georgia. So yeah, I like the move. Now we've
got a 40-yard touchdown pass in the national title game.
Right, yeah, he was really good. So you got the Lions on the board here. They don't have a ton of needs, but they do have some needs there. And I think really what you would like to do if you were the Lions is just kind of add on to your defense, because your offense is really good right now. So I think you want to go and add to your defense. Your secondary, not really that great right now. So if I'm looking at their defense, there's a guy I really like named Kalen King.
Oh, I like Kalen King.
Cornerback
too.
Out of Penn State. He's very similar to Joey Porter Jr., not quite as physical, not quite as good as in man coverage as Joey Porter Jr. is, but he's still a very, very talented corner, and I think you can go get him, and you add another playmaker on your defensive end, this time in your secondary, and I think that bodes well for the Lions. So now we get 31st overall with the San Francisco 49ers.
This is interesting to me because you think of Trent Williams and the age and that offensive line.
Right.
But you know what? They went out and grabbed every pass rusher they could.
They did. They just keep getting pass rushers.
They kept going out because that's a big part of what they are and who they are. And drafting an edge rusher to me makes a lot of sense too. So does offensive line.
I think offensive line makes a little bit more sense for them.
I'm with you kind of on that.
Because I think their defensive line is much better than their offensive line.
Because they love to run the football, love to put the ground, and they got to protect Brock Purdy.
They got to protect Brock.
They put the pieces around. It's serviceable what you do with Brock Purdy. You need the offensive line. Listen, they go out and get every Patrick so they can. I think they'll go free agency for that. So I'm going to go offensive line. And Jordan Morgan out of Arizona is one of my top choices. Oh, you went with Jordan Morgan. That's fine. Jordan Morgan's fine.
I thought you were taking my bad.
No, that's fine. We'll take Jordan Morgan.
My bad. I thought that's who you were taking.
It was the other one was out of Washington.
What's his name? Fautanu.
Yeah, Fautanu.
Yeah.
It was the other one, but Jordan Morgan's fine.
Yeah.
Because okay. I really like his nastiness.
Yeah, I like him too.
That, you know what? Arizona going over the first guy.
That was a guy that was mocked to the Chiefs like on a couple of mocks. Like two times ago that we did the mock draft round.
I'm fine. Who was it that put the wrong name on the card or they missed their card? They tried to get the card up there and somebody passed them because they waited too long. I forgot who it was. Is it the Vikings?
The Vikings got passed up.
Yeah, they got passed up.
Yeah, they got passed. I think that was the 0-3 draft.
I just got passed up.
Yes, you did. So the Ravens on the clock. Hopefully they're not picking 32 this year. And you know
this one's good. This is.
So this one's different because you
they're
could
so good go, offensively and defensively.
Right. You could go wide receiver again, but they've spent a lot of picks on wide
unless
receiver.
You're not expecting much of Odell.
Right. And I don't think you should expect
somebody
a whole lot from him.
Wide receiver's an option though, man.
It's an option. Another position I think you look at is in your secondary. Corner. If there is a weakness on their team, it is corner. Because they're very good up front.
Enos Rakestraw, Missouri, sits out there for corner. Yeah. I really like him. I really thought he was going to sneak in the first round. Troy Franklin's another receiver I like. I think it's between Troy Franklin and Rakestraw.
Yeah.
Because I love the way Enos plays.
So I kind of look at all the different corners here and... Yeah, I mean, I look at it, and I think Enos Rakestraw is probably your best option here. You get a nice, good,
he's a solid player,
corner.
Man. He's physical, very Baltimore Raven.
Yeah, and they like that physical style of play. So I think corner is a great spot for them to go, and Rakestraw certainly fits that profile. So we have finished our mock draft. 0.2.
No, we had 8 receivers in the first round the first time we did this.
So let's see here. We've got Marvin Harrison Jr. So that's 1. Malik Nabers is 2. We've got Romo Dunze at 3. Keon Coleman at 4. Brian Thomas Jr. at 5. A.D. Mitchell at 6, and that's it.
Okay, so we had 6 this time. So we went down 2.
Yes.
And combine numbers will change. Obviously, there's a few guys there that we didn't have Jatavion Sanders, by the way, the tight end.
We had one tight end
in the first round with Bowers.
Which I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Xavier Worthy still sitting out there. And there's some guys that may go first round that we didn't have go in the first round.
Yeah, and again, a lot of this is kind of contingent on the combine. Because the combine is going to really affect the value for wide receivers.
Keon Coleman, I think, could be the biggest mover shaker in this.
Me too. I think Keon Coleman could really, really... And one guy I also think Brian Thomas
is going to be interesting too.
Me too. I already said his 40 time is going to be really big for him. Another guy, though, I really am interested to see what he does is Tez Walker. Because Tez didn't get a lot of time to play this year because of the eligibility issue. So
transferred from the MAC. Hey, I've seen him mocked to the Chiefs in several.
Yeah. So if
but I'm happy with who we got, the A.D. Mitchell. I'm happy with that.
Me too. Like the guys I'm kind of looking at that role.
I wanted Brian Thomas that you picked right before.
I wanted him too, but the way I looked at it is that if I were the Bills, Brian Thomas Jr. is best available.
All the chances
right
screw
there
over the Chiefs.
Yeah, of course. I think that they made a very strong when they went out and got Kyrie Elam. I think they were really worried about the Chiefs going and getting him. So
ever since that Mahomes debacle in 17, they're still on tilt.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's a glimpse into kind of where we think the valuation is for these guys. There, like I said, 28 of these picks have been solidified now with the end of the divisional round. So there's only four more picks left to solidify. Hopefully, the Chiefs will be picking 32 in the first round. But either way, there's going to be a lot of great options for them at wide receiver. Plus, on top of that, again, let's not forget that they could also go and get someone in free agency. So there's options there. So a lot of exciting things that could happen. So. Like I said, we'll be back again next week. Next week, start getting ready for those Senior Bowl previews. Senior Bowl practice is going to be starting up.
The 31st, baby.
We are excited about that. So very, very glad that you guys joined us. Like, subscribe, comment, wherever you can download these podcasts, please do so. Give us 5 stars. We appreciate you guys listening to us. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero, and we'll catch you guys next time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.